iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and today, once again, we're joined by Bhupinder Anand. And Bhupinder Anand is the MD of Anand Financial Architecture, IFAs, based in Uxbridge, alongside Anand Wills and Trusts. He connects law, tax, financial planning to provide a holistic one-stop estate planning service. And his skills are in simplifying the complex world of financial planning, helping clients to design their future financial home, and then source the most appropriate financial furniture to achieve their goals. So he joins us once again here today on iGlobal Radio, and today we are talking about lasting powers of attorney. And if you recall, in our last program in our series, we were talking about estate planning. So this kind of like leads on quite nicely from there as we learn all about lasting powers of attorney and what's it all about. Bhupinder, a very warm welcome to you and thank you for joining us.
Pleasure, Tony, as always. Good to see you again.
Thank you very much indeed. So, as I mentioned, we talked about estate planning, and what we're talking about today is lasting powers of attorney, which kind of like leads on really nicely from our last program that we had to talk about lasting powers of attorney. Let's understand, first of all, what is a lasting power of attorney? What's it all about and what does it stand for?
Okay, so lasting powers of attorney, a lot of people call it an LPA. I call it a living will. A living will meaning that an ordinary will comes into play when we pass away, when we leave the planet. But what if we don't leave the planet, but we're left in a position where we can't do things for ourselves? That's what a lasting power of attorney does. It appoints an attorney. An attorney is somebody that we trust to look after our affairs on our behalf because we're unable to do things for ourselves, either physically or mentally, which I'll clarify for you as well. So that's what a lasting power of attorney is. We're appointing an attorney that stands in our shoes.
So where lasting powers of attorney are concerned, at what stage should we consider having an LPA, if I may call it that, and why should we actually consider having one in the first place?
Yeah, great, great question. People think this is for older people. It's not. It's for everyone. Because if you can say to me, you will never, ever fall ill, you will never, ever be in a hospital bed, then you don't need one. But nobody can say that. And so on the grounds that we don't know the answer to that question, we all need an LPA. It's not just for older people. Mm. So there's two types of LPA. One is for property and finance matters. So clearly, to deal with signing documents, bank accounts, property transactions, those kind of things. And with that property and finance one, it could be that you're mentally fine, but you're confined to a bed in some way, and you need to get to your solicitor's office or to a bank to sign documents. Your attorney is able to then act on your behalf. The other type of LPA document is for health and welfare. Clearly, to do with those kind of things, you're appointing an attorney. This is where you usually have a mental problem. You can't make decisions for yourself. And so you're appointing an attorney to make decisions about your treatment, medication, care, even, dare I say it, choosing to keep your life support machine on or off.
It gets as serious as that, does it? I mean, it's quite serious, but this is quite important when you have a lasting power of attorney or power of attorney where you are bedridden, unwell, or perhaps not in a fit state of mind to be able to make decisions for yourself. This is where it starts getting complicated, doesn't it?
Well, it can get complicated, and the purpose of having an LPA document is to avoid that complication. So if you don't have one, you're leaving the decisions to hospital staff who may not know all your family circumstances and may not make the decisions that you would like to have been made. The point of an LPA is you're appointing somebody who you trust, who is familiar with how you would want to be treated, how you would want to live your life, the decisions that you would want to make. And the serious nature of it is, Tony, for somebody who's going to be an attorney, they must act in the interests of what's called the donor, the person who writes the LPA, not in the best interest of themselves. So absolutely choose somebody that you trust.
Now, when it comes to the lasting power of attorney, does it necessarily have to be a family member? Let us assume that one falls ill or is bedridden or sadly has to go to hospital for one reason or another, and then you need to appoint a lasting power of attorney. Who should that person actually be?
Okay. First of all, the LPA needs to be in place before you need it. Okay. Because by definition, if you've lost your mental capacity, you can't write an LPA.
Correct.
Okay. So this is something that must be done ASAP, and then it's just finished unless you ever need to change it. So you're going to appoint an attorney. Now, you could have more than one attorney. So you could have several. Let's say you've got two kids. Well, maybe it's your spouse, first of all. But you would then have what's called a reserve attorney. So it's really, really important to appoint reserves as well as an attorney. Because what if your attorney can't act? Maybe they're predeceased you. Maybe they're ill themselves. So reserves have the ability to step up for them. If you've got, this is a really important point. A lot of people make mistakes on this. If you appoint two people, you have to choose, do they have to act together or can they act together or separately? Together or separately, the legal phrase is joint or severally. Think about that. If you've appointed A and B, whoever that A and B is, could be friends, could be relatives, to act, and you've appointed them jointly. If one of them is out of the country at the time decisions need to be made, it becomes redundant because the other party can't make those decisions. Joint and several means that either could make those decisions. When I'm writing LPAs for my clients, we put in a clause that says that B must consult with A before B makes a decision, and obviously vice versa. So little clauses within there that you have the opportunity to write yourself are going to help the attorneys to know how they're supposed to act.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. We are talking to Bhupinder Anand, who is the Managing Director of Anand Financial Architecture. And today we are talking about lasting powers of attorney. So as we've discussed the background of lasting powers of attorney, why do I actually need an LPA, given the fact that we've already discussed that you could be ill, you could be taken terminally ill, and even there are, let's face it, we're living longer than we used to in this day and age right now. So perhaps it's a good idea to consider something like this. Giving us some examples as to why do we need an LPA, can we go into a little bit more detail about that today?
Sure. So I've got clients where we've had them and used them, and equally clients where we didn't have them and it was a disaster. Probably a good example, probably my most horrific example, it would be a client of mine. She was my client for 25 years. And she kept saying, I will get round to it. How many times do we hear that when it comes to planning our lives of, I'll get round to it?
We all do. We all do. Because we get into, if you like, a bit of a comfort zone and almost put it to the side because we think and assume that, no, we don't need to address that yet. We're going to live forever.
The problem with being in a comfort zone, Tony, is that you gradually move down to what's called the complacency zone.
Correct.
This is in my book. I write about this.
Yes.
Is that from, to go off on a sidetrack, but I have three C's in my, a chapter in my book, the confidence zone, the comfort zone, and the complacency zone. The danger with the comfort zone is that you can quickly drop down to a complacency zone and the world's changing around you. You constantly need to do new things to be in a more confident zone, including writing wills, including writing your LPAs. So you've always got this peace of mind and confidence. So one of my clients, at the age of 57, was selling her business. And this is what she worked for. She was getting a sale price of £5 million for selling her business. And she always said, I want to grow my business and sell it at a young enough age to enjoy that money for the rest of her life. We literally opened a bottle of champagne together to celebrate the fact that that was happening. She said to me that afternoon, I'm going into hospital, however, tomorrow. Yeah. I've got some stomach problems. Just need to get that sorted out. Fine. You know, these things happen. Lo and behold, a week later, she was diagnosed with cancer. Just before the sale of her business was going through. Problem, she was on morphine, and very quickly she went on to morphine and strong drugs. And the documents needed signing for this business sale.
So she's in a different state of consciousness now by this time.
Yeah. And so I said to her husband, I don't think we're in a position, because she didn't have an LPA document, to get those documents signed. So I wrote to the consultant at the hospital and I said to him, can I have your report to confirm that she's got the capacity to sign these documents? He immediately emailed back and said, I'm not going to issue a report because I can just tell you that she can't even remember my name after 10 minutes. And no, she doesn't have capacity. So we could not get the documents signed in time for that business sale to go through. That one simple document that she said to me, once I've sold my business, then I'll get my life in order. Which she never saw the money because she died, sadly. But the business sale also had its problems because the document couldn't be done. So an LPA is a really, really powerful document.
And this can include not necessarily people who are in business, but it can include anybody, really, any human being who either lives or owns a property or is a parent of children and things like that. Now's probably a good time to look at that. So,
sure.
Bhupinder, as
any decisions that you and I need to make, imagine if we weren't able to make them. That's when it steps in. So that peace of mind of knowing, if that ever happened to me, we don't want it to happen, but if anything happened to us, whatever decisions I want to make, somebody's able to make it on my behalf.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iglobalnews.com. Bhupinder, thank you for sharing such incredible and detailed information about lasting powers of attorney. What I'd like to ask you is that how can one go about setting up an LPA and what does it actually cost? Is it a lengthy and costly process? Should I be worried about it?
Couple of things. First of all, you could do it for nothing. You can go on a government website and you can write your own LPAs. You fill in the forms and you work your way through it. And that part of it costs nothing. However, the danger is you'll never get around to doing it. So many people start the process, but they don't finish it. Second, if you don't know what you're doing properly, you may not put the right wording in that could be as effective as you really want it to be.
I see.
So yes, you could do it yourself. Any solicitor that's involved in estate planning could do this for you. And any other financial planner that is also involved in estate planning could do this for you. Of course, a professional is going to charge you a fee, but then you're going to get professional advice and knowledge and security that it's being written correctly.
And what sort of time frames we're looking at here?
Well, this is an interesting one. Writing it doesn't take long. You know, literally, if somebody saw me today, by tomorrow, if they gave me the data I want, we could have drafted and written their LPA.
Okay.
The problem is, it's not a problem, but it's important to know. Stage two, after writing it, is to lodge it with a government body called the Office of the Public Guardian, OPG. So the Office of the Public Guardian is an organization that registers your LPA. going to come on to what they do in a moment, but there's a fee of £82, which whether you use a professional or you do it yourself, you're going to have to pay that in order to lodge your LPA. And bear in mind, if you've got a property and finance and a health and welfare, so it's two lots of £82. And obviously, if there's a couple doing it, you're going to have four lots of that. So you need to be ready to pay that fee. The reason why you have it with the Office of the Public Guardian could be, well, first of all, they're going to check it and make sure there's nothing fundamentally wrong with it. For example, the document should be witnessed properly.
Yeah.
But it also means that if you are in an accident, that the police, the hospital services can go to the OPG to see if you had listed or registered a lasting power of attorney. So it's a central resource. The alternative is that if somebody goes into care, can't make their own decisions, and you as a family member want to step up and look after them, you need to apply to the Court of Protection. The Court of Protection needs to hear all the reason why you are the right person to be that person's deputy as opposed to attorney. And they will charge a massive fee and an ongoing fee, an annual fee to reconfirm that you have that ability. So for the sake of doing the right thing, not putting both a burden emotionally and a financial burden on your family to have to do it in retrospect, just get your LPAs done.
And in terms of other costs which are concerned in getting an LPA set up, are there any other costs that we should know about? Any other hidden costs?
No hidden costs, because once you've got it, you've got it. The issue is get it right first time, because if you need to change it, you've got to pay fees again, including the OPG fee. By the way, if you are on any form of means test, or not any, but certain means tested benefits, then you get a reduction, potentially down to zero, of the OPG fee as well.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
We are talking to Bhupinder Anand, Managing Director of Anand Financial Architecture. Today, we are talking about lasting powers of attorney and some super advice that we've got from Bhupinder today. Bhupinder, what are the tips on good planning with an LPA? You've mentioned many already in our discussion today, which is fantastic. I'm very grateful for that. But there must be some tips that you can give us and tell us that we should be wary of and that we could actually include as we prepare to write our LPAs.
Sure. I guess the first thing is have a discussion with who's going to be your attorney. Lay it clear as to, you know, if the extreme happened, this is what I would want you to do. So have a frank, open, uncomfortable, I accept that, discussion with your attorneys. Number two, make sure your attorneys know where the document is. Now, that is so crucial, because you could be wasting your time and money if they can't find the original document, because that's what's needed to act for you. A copy won't do.
And if it's done properly, so it would be held within the OPG framework that you told us.
No, they would just have a record of it, but they don't retain the original.
Okay.
They'll stamp it and send the original back to you. But the original is a document that if it's needed, say to make a bank transaction or even a hospital, you need to carry the original. So if you're an appointed attorney, but they can't find the original document, they can't do what they're supposed to do. So make sure it's in a safe, secure place. When I'm writing them for people, we use a safe, secure storage where there's no cost to access those documents. And you just need to leave a note for your attorney that here's where it is to go and find it. Similar, Tony, it applies to wills. The amount of times I meet people saying, I know he wrote a will, but we can't find it.
Indeed. I was just going to say, you took the words out of my mouth. Yes.
Yeah. Make sure that if you've got joint attorneys and you appoint a replacement, beware. If you don't word it properly, if one of your joint attorneys can't operate, the replacement steps up and replaces both. That may not be what you want. You may want it just to replace the one that can't act. So things like that are really important. If you've got investment funds that are managed on what's called a discretionary basis, so that means the manager can move your money around on your behalf, if you don't explicitly state that in your property and finance LPA document, your funds become frozen.
Mm.
The manager loses the right to act on your discretion because you're no longer able to make decisions and the attorney has not been given the authority. These are the kind of things where you should be talking to somebody, getting advice, rather than the typical, dare I say, Asian mentality of, thanks for the information, let me go and do it myself because I can do it cheaper. Yeah, go and do it cheaper and get it wrong. Cost you double to fix it.
Thank you for listening to the iMoney Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Bhupinder Anand, you are the MD of Anand Financial Architecture. And as we talked about lasting powers of attorney today, for those people who'd like further advice on setting up an LPA and want to know and learn more about it, how can they go about contacting you and what resources are available to them?
Great. Thanks for that, Tony. So you can phone me or email me. My phone number is 07949 161 241. That's 07949 161 241. Or you can email me, my first name Bhupinder, Bhupinder, at anandassociates.com. Bhupinder at anandassociates.com. My office is based in Uxbridge in West London, but frankly I have so many clients around the country through talking through a camera. It doesn't matter where you are, let's talk. Let's get your financial planning, your estate planning, your wills, trusts and LPAs in good order. And just as one of my clients called me last week and she said, thank you to me. I said, what for? She said, my husband can now sleep at night because he has peace of mind knowing his affairs are in good order.
Wow.
That's priceless.
That is, isn't it? That is. Thank you very much indeed, Bhupinder. Thank you.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.